Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. Today is Thursday, December 15th, and this is Take 17. We've been having some technical glitches with Mind Shifters Radio, a blog talk, and so here's hoping that you can hear me. We have finally, this is the longest I've been on the call without being cut off. So we're here today again to share another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the internet at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and you click on the two words that say start here in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again absolutely free. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows like this one where people have been stepped through that worksheet process. And if you choose to listen to those, they can serve as a tutorial for you to help you get maximum benefits in the most efficient amount of time from these tools. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And if you do that, before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet. It contains an abbreviated version of that worksheet process. It also contains a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope people do that all soon and often because it tends to improve the quality of people's lives the more they use these tools in their life on a regular basis. It also tends to prompt comments and questions, answers and testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, please give us a call at 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1 on your phone, it will put the icon of a hand by your phone number. I will then see it, or Jeannie will see it. Turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code so we can have a conversation. When people do that, it makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work. The intention with all of this work, the internet show, the support groups, the archives that are available, is to be of service. The archives, wow, what a powerful tool the archives are. I was using the archives again this morning, And wow. That's all I can just say is wow. I listened to something from over 3.5 years ago, and just wow. Wow in that I might get insights. Wow in that I might get triggered and realize I still have some worksheets to do about that. Wow as in what a wonderful resource the archives are. And from time to time, if I'm not going to be here for a show, I will go into the archives and look for a special show that comes to mind that I haven't heard in a long while. And then I'll listen to it and verify that it's worth replaying, and then I'll put it as a best of while I'm not able to be here live. But it's a resource that's there for me, and I use it probably several times a week at a minimum, you know, on top of just listening back to the shows that have been through the week if I am not able to be there live for the show. So, just wow. That's all I can say. It's just wow. And we are strongly encouraging people to take advantage of these free resources that Michael and Jeannie are pouring their life's work into, primarily because it improves the quality of people's lives when they apply these tools. And the other thing that comes from, you know, using the archives is another reinforcement of please don't put anyone on a pedestal. Not Dr. Rice, not me, not your mother or father when you're a child. Don't put anybody on a pedestal. Don't put Yeshua on a pedestal. Just watch. That is a trap. It's an unpleasant, unproductive trap. It's no more nourishing than a shot of whiskey. It can be that high-energy distraction, but it is not productive to put somebody on a pedestal. These teachings are about these teachings. They are not about the teacher. There is no benefit to recognizing and praising and praying to the teacher. There is every benefit to using the tools for yourself, to observing directly how your life works. What is your role in creating your life experience and your emotions? What are the tools you might learn to be of more effective and efficient use in managing or in creating a different life experience? That is well worth your energy. Any amount of putting someone on a pedestal is self-sabotage. I'm at a loss for how to say it different and better, and yet my mind keeps telling me I haven't said it right yet, that there's more to be said about refusing to get distracted or mistake the teacher for the teaching. And as I say that, it comes to mind, we've had some person on our support groups for years. She's come consistently for years. And she's a writer and she's an artist. And at one point she did a piece of writing where she said something like this. I'll paraphrase it. I'll get fairly close to it. She said, I've met a lot of people in my life who found a piece of the truth. And then they began to teach it, and then they began to think it was the truth, and then they began to think it was the only truth, and then they began to think that they were the truth. And that's a disaster. And that's the trap, that is the pitfall of focusing on the teacher rather than the teaching. Susan, I think I can hear you.
Okay. Did you just hear that?
Did you put your finger up, your hand up intentionally?
Yes, I did, and you can hear me. Good. Yeah. Dr. Tim, it's a great topic. And it, if you look at the other side of the coin, being critical of people is like putting them below you on a pedestal you have put yourself on. I've been thinking about myself, and I also have a little fun little testimonial about the Pratervand work. But anybody who is more than I am or less than I am, I'm already on thin ice.
And the water is cold and deep beneath you.
Yeah, especially today. Yeah. Totally true. Yeah, this is just a great thing to sort of keep in mind at all times, I think. And so I'm glad you are bringing it up. I've been thinking a lot about codependency because it's one of my favorite messes that I can get into. And this is another way of talking about it. So getting older helps. Just gives you a little perspective, a little margin of sanity, or a bigger margin of sanity around the edges of any of that that goes on. So if you were going to say more about that, you should keep going, because I have a little testimonial, but it's not exactly related.
Well, that's okay. Let's hear your testimonial.
Well, it's another incidence of how well the Pratervand blessing works and why it's a shortcut to the enlightened goal, in a way. Two nights ago, late afternoon, Tim and I were out to dinner with friends, and we spent a long time and got tired and came home pooped and fell into bed. Then Tim said, you know, there's something weird about my ear. I think I didn't get all of my hearing aid out. There's a little globe at the end of the hearing aid that I think is still in my ear. And I thought, oh, gee, this is 10 o'clock. Of course, I'm starting the Pratervand right away. Let's bless the situation. I want to get to sleep. So we got out the flashlight and the Q-tips and the tweezers, and it was awkward. I needed two extra hands. And finally he said, I think we need to call Jonathan, who lives up the street. Jonathan had been on call. He had just texted us that he was exhausted and just arriving home. And I said, no, we're not calling Jonathan. Jonathan's expertise is not ears either. So I said to Tim, you know, he may have some instruments at home, but I don't think he should be fiddling with your ear. Plus, let's not wake him up. And he said, well, then I have to go to the emergency room. So I said, let's just be quiet for a minute. Lights went back off. We lay in bed. And I'm saying, okay, I've got to bless this situation. Did some breathing, did some tapping. Thought, I am welcoming this situation. And we had a very busy day the next day, and I seemed to get a little anxious about getting enough sleep. Finally, about 10:30, he says, I got to get some help with this. It hurts. So he doesn't like to drive at night, and so I drove him to the emergency room, and I'm feeling better already. I'm feeling as if, well, this is an adventure, and good chance to practice the dental art of blessing. We arrived in there. It's a beautiful, big, new waiting room, wide hallways, chairs far apart. One young nurse greeted us, and I just thought it was easy to give her a blessing right away. Then there were some other staff there, and then we sat down, and I noticed that somebody had gone to the trouble of putting out poinsettia plants all over the waiting room. And they were dying. They were all so terribly thirsty. So I found a water bottle that somebody hadn't finished the water, and I found a water fountain, and I went around watering the plants, which is, for a restless person, this was a great activity. Then the nurses began to say, you know, we've been watching those things dying, and we've been running around, and we just haven't tended to them. Thank you so much. So I was blessing the plants, blessing the other people, feeling tons of good energy, And a lot of intake was done. Machines came out and different intake people had to find out Tim's whole history before they could look in his ear. And I was thinking, this is crazy. And then the doctor finally comes in. It's about 2 hours later. And he looks in Tim's ear and says, yep, I can't do this. You've got to make an appointment with your audiologist for tomorrow. And you better just go home, you know, and take some ibuprofen and try to get some sleep. So we got nowhere. But it was such a fun night. It was a fun and beautiful night. And Tim fell dead asleep right away. And as soon as I hear him buzzing off, I think, okay, whew. And, you know, we got enough sleep, a little bit weird the next day, but nothing like, I just thought this little exercise absolutely transformed the situation and us. Because Tim was cheerful, too. He found that I wasn't crabbing at him, and that was really nice, too. So that's the end of my testimonial.
Wonderful. And it's the kind of thing that came up time and time again when we did the book club. And nine different
really?
People had reports like that. Oh, yeah. It's just another validation at a different level that we create our experience. And it isn't, you know, that I'm not going to get enough sleep or that my husband's got something stuck in his ear. Or that's not what makes me upset. What makes me upset
right.
is my thoughts about it. It's the interpretation I place on it. And you
mm-hmm.
decided this as, oh, this is an adventure. And there you go. And then you had a lovely adventure.
We did. It's amazing.
It's
like,
the core of this work.
It is, and it's amazing that it, for me, we read this book a couple of years ago and discussed it, and I listened to your gorgeous Pratavan talk about it. But it took a couple more years of doing worksheets, understanding what we're heading for as far as changing our thoughts before I could put this back to work. So I'm reading the book, and it's like a new book. So it's like what you were saying about going into the archives. You heard all the stuff, but you heard it and heard it again and heard it again. We could probably stop the whole planet and go back and listen to and learn what we tried to learn before. I'm glad we're not going to do that. But on the other hand, there's so much that slips by the first few times. And I hate to think how much is slipping by now, but that's a bad thought.
Well, you know, there it is. That's the evidence
yep.
of our lives. Playing out right there.
Right.
We do yep. that. And that's just the old momentum demonstrating its truth.
Yep.
Oh, I have spent decades being trained to go back to the negative as soon as there's a pause, as soon as I'm not being
right.
vigilantly positive.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked before about there's that book, Buddha's Brain, and it is trying to talk about what do we know, what can we surmise about how our brain works and how it got to be the way it is. And it says in that book, we have a tendency that we developed as a survival mechanism when we lived out in the wild and we were not at the top of the food chain. And that tendency basically translates into over-predicting for negative.
Yeah.
Right? And if natural selection, if there's anything to natural selection, then those people who would get scared at the slightest sound and dive into the bushes to avoid the Bengal tiger or whatever, they survived more. And they dove into the bushes if the wind rustled a dry leaf or if it was a squirrel or if it was a rabbit or if it was a tiger. And they dove into the bushes a lot. And they missed the ability to enjoy the fall colors of the leaves, and they missed the ability to enjoy the squirrels and the rabbits. But they survived the tigers, too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that theory that we, those of us who dove into the bushes a lot and were very scared of new things, we survived more and passed along our genetics, and that's how the brain developed that way. Then there's the theory, the other side of the theory is we were evolved, we grew to over-predict the pleasure we will have when we get what we want. Well, how does that make sense in an evolutionary sense, right? Well, because we were foragers, and then the seasons changed, and the fruit would come into ripeness on different trees. If we weren't there at that time, we couldn't gorge ourselves on these luscious, fattening fruits, and we wouldn't make it through the winter. So once we found a crop like that or a tree like that, well, here comes the winter, time to move on. There's no more fruit on the tree, and we have to go find shelter. But we got to remember, this is the location we need to be back here at harvest time next year. And so what's the motivation to remember that? Oh, my God, that's wonderful fruit. Oh, I've never tasted anything so good in my life. Oh, it's so anticipating how wonderful that fruit is going to be is this driving force that lets us remember so we get back there. And we're over predicting how wonderful that fruit is. We get back there the next year. The fruit is ripe. We climb the tree. We eat a few of them. It's almost orgasmically good. And the third and the fourth one are kind of bland.
Yeah.
And when I'm working on my third bushel, I'm hating these things. Because I still have to eat more to get through the winter. But it's the same old, same old. But then a few months later, as I'm traveling and it's getting colder and I'm thinking about how great it'll be to go back and have that fruit, and I'm over-predicting how good I'm going to feel when I get this thing that I want. This is a classic example of this comes out in the movie I Am by Tom Shadyac. He was the producer or the director of a lot of the Ace Ventura Pet Detective movies, you know, with what's his name? And he did a movie titled I Am. And in the movie, he talks about how he made more and more money and more millions, and his friends all said, you need a bigger house and you need a mansion, you need a bigger mansion, et cetera. And he says, I remember the day I moved into the last mansion and the realtor gave me the keys and walked out, and I'm left in this, you know, big open space, the foyer, you know, you come in the door and there's this circular staircase that goes upstairs. And he said, and I sat there and I realized I don't feel any different now than I did in the old house.
Yeah. Right?
But I've spent millions for this huge place. And he lived alone, right? So he had a big family to support. You know, he let people talk him into it. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. It's going to be great for entertaining, this, that, and the other thing. And then he got it, and it was like, eh. And that's what happened.
Oh, God, I know that feeling. Right.
Well, and, you know, the wisdom that they talk about and a number of different spiritual teachers talk about is that the enjoyment you're going to have when you plan and you save and you scrimp for the stereo or the car or the whatever, the enjoyment you're going to have, you've had most of it before you take possession of the thing.
Yeah.
It's the fantasy of it. It's, you know, this is the old adage about how it doesn't take long for the shine to wear off that rose.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're predicting, we're over-predicting how wonderful it's going to be when we get this or that. Well, what is this about? This is about how we create our experience of life.
Mm-hmm.
And if I build this big scenario about, oh, this is bad, we should be home in bed, we're not going to get enough sleep tonight, oh, Tim is being silly, he could just wait. If I pour my mind energy into those thoughts, I create one level of experience. But mm-hmm. here's your testimonial that you poured your mind energy into a pattern of thoughts about, this is wonderful. We're saving the chrysanthemums or these flowers, and we're talking to the nurses and doctors, and we're on a blessing adventure. This is a great opportunity to extend love in this situation and in that situation. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you've created a different experience of life, even though the outside events haven't changed at all.
And it's such a relief to just have that option. It's kind of amazing that we have to kind of plant it in there. You're right, we've programmed ourselves differently. But it's like helping to make ourselves safe and have a purpose all over again. And it's like a safety thing. Well, you know.
You make it feel like it's a safety thing, right? I can create the experience of it's I'm not safe or I am safe. And that's the point of the work.
Yeah.
That each and every one of us, whether we realize it or not, we are creating our sense of fear, our sense of danger, because the absolute essence of who we are is not in danger.
Right.
This was in the reading from yesterday, that the whole thing about fear.
Mm.
And fear is this energy wave that moves through you so that you get out of the way of the charging bear has nothing to do with the fear we're talking about in the way of mastery.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the enlightened people will feel those waves of energy. But the enlightened person doesn't let the immediate wave of energy drive their response. The enlightened person can choose awareness of that wave of energy and sometimes says, oh, I better get out of here. This isn't my time. And sometimes says, okay, bear, go ahead and eat me. Because it's just the body, and I am not the body. I don't know if you remember that part of the reading, but it's the truth of how, what at this level, the truth these books, Way of Mastery, Way of the Heart, Way of Transformation, Way of Knowing, the truth that they're talking about is our absolute essence and our absolute always completely safe.
That's a great idea. So,
they talk about it in ways where they use the word like vulnerability and invulnerability, and I try to switch that up and try to explain. I'm changing the use of the word here to, instead of using vulnerable, I say open, wide open. And instead of saying invulnerable, I say completely safe.
Mm, that's nice.
Because the word vulnerable has the implication that someone can be hurt. And the truth of these teachings is that your essence cannot be hurt.
Right. There are some kind of adjunct things. It's amazing how things show up in life when they would mean something. For instance, on Facebook the other day, there was a tiny clip by Ian McClellan. He's an English actor, and he said a couple of words.
Hello, love.
Really helped. Hello, love.
Where do you want to go, love?
I know. Isn't that the best thing? And interestingly enough, I spoke to our housemate about that, our Michael. He lives in the basement. And he said, yeah, I saw that too. And I said, how would you feel? Because I just need permission. I often want to say that to people. It's a way of, you know, loving on them. But it seemed my New England background would say, oh, yuck, barf. You know, this is inappropriate, and nobody wants that. I said, what if I said to you, hello, love? And he said, I love it. And I said, all right, it's going to happen. And he said, I'll do it to you too. And so it literally has a physical effect just saying that. It's like suddenly we're on another level of friendliness and ease, and openness about talking about ourselves. And there's movement in this relationship, which isn't anything like what I was trying to make it into. There are no worksheets going on, very little discussion about things, except yesterday he came in and said, "My God, I was so anxious all afternoon. I had to take my dog to the vet. I was afraid. I found this vet who'll do it for much less money, and they're often not very good. And I was afraid even so I couldn't afford it. And I was so anxious, I'm just a wreck." And I thought, that is the first time that man has spoken to me that way. And I said, "Oh, that's horrible. I've had anxiety like that. Tim does too. Going to new places and he doesn't see very well and our vision's a little less good at night. And I feel for you." And he said, "Yeah." I didn't try to fix him. I just listened to him and then he went downstairs and all was well. But so we've got this little thing going in the house and I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but it's like having a little grease on the wheels. I'm getting used to it a little bit. But that's another way of doing Pierre Pratervand.
Yep.
And it's verbal. It's like doing it out loud, which is really a big deal.
It can be. And you'll know the value of it by the energy it shifts in you.
Yeah, and it does immediately.
Yeah, it's the old ancient teachings that you'll know them by their fruits, by their results.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
So do you ever go back and revisit some of your highlight shows where you've been on the call and or there's been a big emotional, where you either did a worksheet or there was a big emotional issue you were talking through with Michael or something? Do you ever do that?
I've done it once or twice with recent ones with you, quite by accident. It's been in the middle of the night. I think, boy, listening to the show that happened today or yesterday would be great. And I try to get one where I know I didn't call in. But sometimes there I am, and I think, I don't like listening to my voice. I know this is a whole other thing that could be gotten into, and it's the same with piano performance. I don't want anybody to look at me. I think I look horrible. It's a big ego thing. So, no, I don't listen to them because they're repellent. And here I talk so much on the show. It's kind of a contradiction, but
well,
anyway.
There's just a lot of good stuff in there that for anybody who's been on the show and they've either worked through a worksheet or they've had a big emotional issue they were willing to share and talk about, frequently there are useful things that are said that can bear fruit if you listen to them again at a different time.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, there's the worksheet that you did about seeing a magazine cover where the world was on fire, right? The earth was on fire. And you called in and did that powerful worksheet. There's a worksheet that a woman named Jill did from North Carolina and the first time she called in that was just very powerful. And that's, you know, I listened to that within the past couple of weeks, and I sent her a message and just said, "Thank you for doing this. I listened to this. It's in the highlights on the mindshiftersacademy.org website." And she, you know, sent a message back and said, "Oh my gosh, it's great to hear from you. I haven't done that in years. I'll go listen to that." There are gems there. Michael used to say, "Save all of your old worksheets." Well, very few of us We'll live into that, right? But his point was that when you go back and reread them later, they can hold a different level of work for you. You might get triggered again anew, or you might understand it differently because you've reached a different level of personal work.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to highlight the fact that the same thing can happen when you listen back to an internet show where you were discussing something or you did a worksheet. You know, there was some powerful sessions that happened back in May of 2019. May 10th, to be exact, that began a series of discussions. And have you ever revisited those?
No, I haven't.
Is it stirring brain cells for you about what that was about?
No, I don't remember. I do remember environmental stuff, anxiety things. May 10th.
2019. Okay. Yeah, it'll stir brain cells for you in a big way.
Okay.
And then, of course, that was a Friday, and so the 11th and the 12th are holiday, and then so then the 13th is another powerful show with talking about the processing from the Friday before. But, you know, there have been a series of those over the years. And, you know, some with Michelle and some with, you know, people that Michelle was working with. And, you know, there are people who used to call the show on a regular basis who've done powerful worksheets, and they don't even call anymore, and they may not listen anymore. But that archive is such treasure trove.
Isn't it great?
Powerful
yeah.
stuff. Well, we had somebody else put a hand up. I'm going to turn on her microphone or his microphone. Is this Anne?
Yes, it is. Hi,
welcome.
Susan.
Hi, Anne.
Hey, this is great. I just wanted to congratulate you, Susan, because it's amazing watching your morphing, your transformation from cocoon to butterfly. That's the picture that came to me. And I agree with Dr. Tim about going back and listening. I, you know, had at first the same thoughts you did as far as like, oh, my gosh, that's terrible sounding, Anne. But then I realized that it's a benefit because I listened to some where I was just going a mile a minute and just so anxious and just pouring out. And then over time, the last ones have gotten better and slower as I've evolved. And it's like, whoa. I mean, people can recognize it and tell me that. But for me to hear it myself, it was just amazing. And so, you know, being on this journey, you know, with Dr. Tim, you know, staying off the pedestal, Dr. Tim, but being a part of the team and the journey is just amazing. It's just great. And so I love, you know, the community part of this and just listening to, you know, the transformation that you're making, Susan. Good job, kid.
Thank you so much, Anne. That's pretty nice.
You're welcome and deserving.
Well, I think it's amazing that Dr. Tim can listen to all those things. Your bandwidth is very wide.
Or narrow and focused.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of other things that I'm not listening to. I'm not listening to the news all morning long. I'm not watching television.
Oh, well,
I'm.
Who would recommend that? Nobody.
Well, it's, you know, I have a patient that I work with, and he comes in and he says, people get really upset when I tell them this, but I keep telling them, we all do only what we want to do. We only do what we want to do. He finds different ways to say it. He goes to meetings and things, and he says, and people get really upset with me when I say that, but it's the truth. We only do what we want to do. And I say that, and they say, oh, you're so selfish. And I tell them, no, we all only do what we want to do or what we value. And if you want to know what you value, and you talk to, you know, Guy Finley, and he'll tell you, you want to know what you value? Look at what you do. Look at where you spend your time. That is what you value.
Oh, boy, that's really going to take some examining. I spend the early, early hours of the morning after I'm up doing spelling bee on the New York Times to see how many words out of a word I can get. Oh, very useful.
Or like me, you know, on my own without, you know, thinking that I was calling on the Holy Spirit or Rukka to help stop the TV addiction thing, then change as I've journeyed on here and evolved more and think, wait, I'm working way too hard at trying to stop this. And now I just ask to be shown. And it's like, okay. And it has reduced just because I don't value that stuff that I was watching. And, yeah, and it's amazing then how much more time I have for other things that are more valuable. So, yeah, anyway, thanks for that.
Good work.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, it is a difficult thing for a lot of us to face up to that because we've been conditioned to view ourselves as victims. Right, I'm a victim of my emotions. I'm a victim of what somebody does that makes me mad, or I'm a victim of what somebody does that leaves me feeling sad or scared or lonely. That's what we've been conditioned to think. And so if you extend that, then we've been conditioned to think that we don't have a choice about how we spend our time or what we do. We have to do this and we have to do that, and we have people who talk about it and use those phrases. I remember years ago on the internet show, Julie Haverstick was on, and she said, I have decided that I need to change my vocabulary, my speech pattern. So instead of saying, I have to go to the gym, I say, I'm choosing to go to the gym this afternoon.
Yeah.
Just that change in her speech, she found was a powerful shift in her experience of life.
That's
she started labeling what she does as what she's choosing to do. Instead of, her mind had been racing around with, oh, I have to go to the store. Oh, I've got to get my hair cut. Oh, I've got to be the dentist. Oh, I've got to do this. Oh, I've got to do that. And she was noticing, because she's doing this kind of work and turning the focus inside, she was noticing how much tension she was feeling. And because she was listening to Dr. Rice and she'd been to so many intensives, she finally realized she was doing it with her words. She was intensifying whatever, you know, regular tension there would be because she kept telling herself that she had to do this or she had to do that. And as soon as she shifted and started talking specifically with very clear regulatory speech, I'm choosing to do this, I'm choosing to do that, she felt an entirely different level of relaxation, a different level of stress, different level of productivity. And that's just
that's
a little tip or trick any of us could do. Go ahead, Ann.
That's reminds me of that phrase, I need do nothing, you know, in the way of the mastery. And that's what's helped me, start doing that, starting that practice. Oh, when too many things are in my head and I get overwhelmed, okay, I need to do nothing. So don't do anything. And I don't. And then just quiet and calm down. And it's like, oh, it's so simple. I think, I think we've made things complicated, at least I can only speak for me.
Well, and the other side of that phrase, I need do nothing, you know, what we talk about in this work is that all of these words are just vibrations, and they only have the meaning that each of us would give to them as we receive the vibration, right? They only have the meaning of what is stored in our brain cells. right? So if I have stored in my brain cells a meaning for a phrase like, I need do nothing, if I've stored a whole bunch of thoughts that say, what that means is I should just sit on my meditation pillow or on the couch like a slug, then that's the meaning I give it, and that's what I and that's what my experience is. But if I hear a talk like this, I hear what Julie Haverstick did and how it lit her world up differently and was highly preferable results. I hear that phrase now and I think, oh, I need do nothing. I'm choosing everything I do. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not a call to inactivity. It's not a call to being inactive. It's a call to the awareness of what I'm letting drive my actions.
Right.
If I'm awake and aware to the fact that everything I do, I have a choice to do it or not do it, I create a different experience of life.
Yes, yes. That's good.
I need do nothing is a call to awaken to the fact that I'm choosing to do everything I do. And for some people hearing this, that's going to be a brand new thought for them, even though we've talked about it, you know, 17 different ways till Sunday. But just a slightly different presentation. And of course, if I've heard it 5 years ago, I'm a different person now than I was 5 years ago. So that same concept can land very differently today. The ancient teaching, I need do nothing, many of us will register that as a call to just be a slug, be inactive, don't do anything, don't take any proactive action. But here's an entirely different level of meaning that you could assign to that and have get resonated for you. Whenever you hear the old spiritual teaching, I need do nothing, please start to hear, you are choosing everything you do. So choose wisely. Choose that which helps you extend the good, the holy, and the beautiful. Choose that which helps you experience your true nature as love. Choose that which helps you see everyone and everything around you as the energy of creation expressing in form.
Good breath. That's great.
Thoughts?
Oh.
Comments? Answers?
Blessings.
Questions?
Blessings for the rest of this awesome day.
Blessings. Yeah. And I now that you say that, Anne, it reminds me that one of the things I've done in the last few days is gone over to my the MindShiftersAcademy.org website. And I've uploaded a recording of me reading the blessing for myself from Pierre Pradervan's book. So it's a minute and 57 seconds. It's less than that because at the end I give it, you know, his attribution to Pierre. But that's another little resource that's there. It's right below the forgiveness patter on the page that says educational material. You can download the five-step reality management worksheet, the mental short version. You can download the PDF of the forgiveness patter, and you can download the audio of me reading the forgiveness patter, so you can just hit play and let it play as you do your little meditation in the worksheet process.
Nice.
And then I downloaded myself reading A Blessing for Myself from Pierre Pradervan.
Yes.
Just because somebody said, hey, where is that? And I was texting the text of it and emailing it to various people. And then I thought, well, I've had other people ask me to put stuff up there in my own voice, so there it is. Feel free to
That's great.
Go on over to the MindShiftersAcademy.org website for highlights and some tools.
Mm, good.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions, answers, or testimonials before we hand the show over to Jeannie for the second hour?
No, thanks for the talk, though. Thanks for coming on, too, Ann.
Yeah.
Good to hear your voice. Thanks, love.
Yours as well. Yes, thanks. Yeah, that was fun. Thanks.
All right, loves. Be well. I will mute you so you can listen in.
All right, loves, too.
All right.
I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. And apologies again for messing up the beginning of the show. I will go out and create shows.
I'm not sure it was all you. All right. Well, thank you.
Well, I will go out and,
And get some scheduled ahead.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Blessings.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Thursday, December the 15th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. Yeah, I had... It had slipped past me that I didn't have a show created for today, and it was like 5 minutes till time for Tim to start. So I read out real quick and was creating a show, and Dr. Tim was doing the same thing. And between the two of us creating one at the same time, when it came time for the show to start, it didn't know which one to play. And so I ended up deleting both of those and creating a third one. So we were a little bit late getting started. And so, yes, I will go out as soon as the show's over and create shows for the rest of the year anyway, so that we'll be caught up and that won't happen again. And thanks for your patience and Susan for texting and letting us know it was screwing up. and we'll give Michael just a minute to get dialed in. And I'll invite you to go to our website. I'm actually in the process of writing an email or a newsletter to send out that has like our end of the year updates of what's happened with us personally, and then just some information, and then some links to different things, reminding people we now have created two new videos that will help you to navigate both the website and the app, and the link to where you can go and find those two videos. And then there's also, links to like the book club and the self-study and the mind shifters and all the different things that are going on. One of the things I looked into after Michael mentioned it yesterday is that YouTube, they will monetize us after we have met certain criteria. One of the criteria is that we have to have 1,000 subscribers. We have 963. So if you are not a subscriber to our YouTube channel, please go to that, and I'll put the link in the notes for today. It's youtube.com and then Michael Rice, Y-Again, but I'll put the direct link in the notes for today. Or you can go to the website, yagain.org, and at the top of the page over in the right, there are some little icons that's Facebook and Vimeo and then YouTube. You can click that and it'll take you straight to the channel. And so if you will go to our YouTube channel and do a couple of things, one is to subscribe. And then the other criteria that they require is that we have had 4,000 hours of viewing time. Now, we've had over 47,000 views. However, a lot of our videos are like 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 6 minutes or whatever, and it doesn't total the 4,000 hours. So if you would, when you go out to YouTube, click on one of the videos. We now have all of the archives for the book club out there. And we've got several workshops that Michael has done or services or whatever, and a lot of those are well over an hour long. So if you'll click on them and watch it for the full hour, not just click on it and then off of it, because then that doesn't count. But if you'll watch it for the full hour, click a like on it. It has a button where you can click, you know, that you like the video. And that will not cost you anything except a little bit of time of viewing videos, which will help in learning. But it will help us to reach the criteria where then we can start being monetized by YouTube. And so, you know, I don't know how much that'll be. Every little bit counts and helps. And then we also have a Heartland maintenance fundraiser that's getting ready to start. I've created a page on the website for that, put that under news, and also maybe under schedule. I'll figure a couple places to stick that so it'll be easy to find, but you can also click on the little hourglass or magnifying glass and so just type in fundraiser and it should pop up. But anyway, Susan, the lady who they host our website on their domain, and she is currently working on it. I talked to her yesterday afternoon and again this morning, and we're doing a couple of things. One, we are updating the shop. Right now it's kind of weird looking when you click on for DVDs or CDs or books, and so we're updating it to a different shop format, and it's going to look really nice. It's going to look more professional. And she's going to create a coupon. And so what we're planning on doing is that the coupon will say that you can purchase, let me open this up here so that I read it correctly and not tell you wrong. It'll be a coupon for $25 for any two-hour DVD or four-hour CD. So those are normally $40 each. And flat rate shipping of $8, regardless of whether you buy one or 20 or whatever. And the ones that you buy, if we have streaming available for it, you will also get the free streaming link. So you'll have the hard copy of the DVD or CD, and you'll get the free streaming for $25 plus $8 for the flat rate shipping. And that money will go to Heartland Maintenance Fundraiser. You know, we have a building, and some have already contributed, and we are most appreciative of that. We have a building that needs a roof ASAP, and, of course, taxes have gone up, and they are due by the end of the year. And, you know, we have electricity, not as much as when we're using all the buildings, but some of those things still keep going on, even though the facility is not open. So this will help us to get that back up in shape and keep it running smoothly. And if you need, you know, there's on the fundraiser page, I explain the PayPal account that you would go through is a different one than, you know, maybe to Michael's or mine. And it's listed as Independent Catholic International or something like that. Michael, maybe you can bring me up on that. Anyway, it's 401c3 nonprofit, and so, you know, if you need a tax credit for the end of the year, that would count as a charitable donation. Now, it doesn't if you make the purchases. That does not count, but if you just make a donation, then it does. Now, I suggested in it that you actually, if you have a Facebook account, that you just sign into your Facebook and then do sending money, family, and friends. And that way they do not charge you.
You mean PayPal.
Any fee. And
you mean PayPal, yeah, honey, not Facebook, right? Facebook.
Oh, yeah. So PayPal. And but if you click on donations, then they do take their fee. And so if you just go in and click and put in the correspondence at whyagain.org, it will family and friends, and it doesn't charge either one of us, and it will go straight to that account. And like I said, those donations are 501c3, and so, you know, we're getting close to the end of the year. If you need a deduction for your taxes, that's a way to help you and us both. And so anyway, watch for that newsletter. It's going to be coming out hopefully before the end of the day. And, you know, if there's anything that you can help with or suggest or whatever, I am open. And at this time, I'll turn it over to Michael.
Thank you, sweetie. Thanks for sharing all of that. And, you know, when we were on the road, being on the road, you know, 30 to 40 weeks a year doing workshops all around the country or all around the globe, always create enough cash flow to keep the center going, keep everything moving. But for 4 years now, we've been here in Bristol taking care of Jeannie's dad and our granddaughter, doing things online, of course, continuing the radio show, creating new products and such. But since, you know, geez, since forever, 30-some years ago, started doing workshops free. And, you know, basically, you know, pretty much everything we do is free, unless we're doing an intensive, and we haven't opened Heartland in 4 years now. You know, the electric bill goes on between $400 and $500 a month. You can't out in the in a rainforest, which is pretty much what's there. You can't very well just shut buildings down or they deteriorate very quickly. So, you know, fans need to be on and dehumidifiers, that sort of thing. So, any event, if you see your way fit to support us in helping to monetize some of these things, a good series to do, if you go to YouTube and just type in Michael Rice, R-Y-C-E, you'll be on our YouTube channel. Start with the first link that we did on the Hear My Voice book club. And we go through, we're actually up to chapter 19, I think. We've completed, with one last week, which Jeannie just posted, we've completed from chapter 1 to 20 to 19 of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? So you can just go through the whole book with us. There are a lot of question answers, processing. There are a couple of sessions where we did worksheets with people, so there are specific instructions on doing the worksheet process. But that could be a good course for somebody to go through, and it'll you know, give you a really solid foundation with this work. And of course, if you're going through it and questions come up, you can, you know, click the button in the app if you've got the app on your phone and send us a question, or just call into the radio show and we'll be glad to help clarify and expand on any ideas that aren't just as crisp as they need to be. So we're here to create support out of it. And so that's the way you can do a whole course on the book free. There are 2 to 3 hour sessions, and there are, I haven't counted them, but what's it going to be? Probably 10 of them so far, I think. Something like that, 9 of them. And if you're in a position where you want to, you know, pay to do some additional study, if you want to take your work to another level, we do have one video self-study course called Codependence to Interdependence, which is a combination of two really powerful video intensives that we did on Zoom. And so those, the combined course and the feedback we're getting from people doing is just like, this is mind-boggling. And when people were going through the intensive, it's literally a Zoom. So you've got, you know, 20 people on the screen, their questions and answers and process and teaching and the whole thing. So there are a total of almost 90 hours of video that come with that. And it includes 2 personal code evaluations. You can do that whole package for $600. And again, of course, we're here for support, questions and answers and process work and such as you go through the codependence to interdependence course. That one includes Why Is This Happening to Me Again? So we go into the forgiveness worksheet, healing through relationships, go into the commitment, communication. Did you hear what I think I said? There's a whole new communication worksheet. Actually, I say big thank yous and kudos to the process that happened in the codependent segment of that intensive to Magda, because she was very courageous and really stepped up to the plate. It's always been one of her favorite tools. And so she stepped up to the plate in that intensive and really opened the space where that workshop transformed me. For 25 years, I've had a single-page communication guide sheet, and now it's 3 pages from the interaction with that. She was really courageous and opened an awesome space during that segment of the intensive. Also, the segment where she worked with her grandfather, great-great-grandfather, she touched into and did some just beautiful generation work, just like beyond comprehension type generation work. Left me in tears, both when she did the work in the intensive and then when she called into the radio show to do it. Maybe put a note, or pardon me, Jeannie, maybe put a link to that in the notes for today if anybody wants to give it a listen. It's just mind-boggling what she touched into and the changes that made for her. So that's included. And then, of course, codependence to interdependence. There's a new worksheet that came out of this series of intensives. Again, the codependence or the power person worksheet has always just been a single page, like for decades. And out of this intensive, that worksheet is now 12 pages. We don't have this. It's about the only worksheet we don't have on the website. And the reason for that is because it takes the intensive to create the grounding to really, you know, comprehend what it's about. And so it's a worksheet that's only available. I mean, it goes into the power person dynamic. And you've heard me say before that, you know, the power person dynamic is the thing that runs the world. It runs business. It runs government. It runs religion. It runs communities. I mean, it literally runs the world. And this power person dynamic, which is the core of our codependence work, the healing of that, is what changes everything. And of course, the power person dynamic for every one of us is something that's been going on for generations and generations and generations. And the unraveling of that is a major piece of work. So that worksheet in the intensive is now a 12-page worksheet to look at all aspects and unravel the intricacies of the power person dynamic. So that's all part of the codependence to interdependence intensive workshop. As I say, there are 90 hours of video, and the cost of the whole package, including the evaluations, is $600, so it's pretty cheap. So that's a great way if you feel inclined to support us and you'd like to do a paid participation in the work. And we're certainly delighted for you to take and hold and use everything that's free that we've got. We've got hundreds of hours of video, thousands of hours of radio shows that are there in the archives that are free. And, you know, the objective is simply to make it available. And for almost five decades, pretty much everything that has come into this work has been sunk back into Heartland and back into making the work available. And with us changing the travel, that's kind of left things since we do so much. I mean, we've done what? One, two, three, four. I think I've done four different interviews this week. One with the medical group in Kingsport, Tennessee, and one I just finished one about an hour ago with a woman in Colorado who's got a radio show called Tributaries. Let's see, what else did we do this week? There were one or two others. In any event, you know.
Ben Rogers.
Right, that was Kingsport. It was at least one other one. In any event, whatever it is, there are just lots and lots and lots and lots of free ways to access it. Please use it. And, you know, at least if you do, please pass it on. You know, put it in, attach it, get a copy of the link to it, put it in an email and send it to somebody. If you watch the videos on YouTube, you know, post it. Let people know what you're doing. That's a request from us. Let people know what you're doing and what impact it's having on your life. And pass it along. It's we're kind of in a challenged place with cash flow, with the fact that COVID struck and closed Heartland down. It's 2019 was our last season in Heartland, so it's been a challenge because, of course, that's a pretty good sized sinkhole for money when it's not operating, and we're going into our fourth year of it not operating. So if you see your way to fit to support. If in only by passing it on, you know, participate, pass it on, hit likes on YouTube, send a link to somebody, and do the work, of course. That's the most important thing. That's how each person contributes to critical mass. You remember that? Physicist 2,000 years ago said a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. He wasn't talking about bread. He was talking about humanity. And to become the leavening means to become the space where active present love shows up in your mind and your body on a consistent basis, especially when somebody's violating a goal that you have for them. That's how to become the leavening. If somebody's conflicting with a goal you hold for them, do you trust love Is that your God, or do you trust hostility or fear? And I must admit that I still find times when I'm trusting in hostility and fear. And so, you know, I get to keep doing my work. And anybody who says they don't have any worksheets to do, Jamie's got a whole section on the website for you, for people who have no worksheets. I haven't met a person yet. I haven't met a person who's completed their work. And I'm not sure how to say this. I haven't met too many people who've done any more than just scratch the surface of their real work. You know, the trick of the mind is to keep us focused out there in the world and keep us drugged. You know, one of the most common drugs that we hear people use to avoid doing worksheets is, and wait for it, let's see if this applies to you. Something came up for you last week and you said, oh, I need to do a worksheet on that, but I'll do that later because I'm too busy. It is the most common drug on planet Earth. Back a few years ago, we spoke at a super high security prison in Ionia, Michigan. It's a prison where they take all of the most challenging prisoners from the whole state of Michigan, put them in this one Civil War facility. It's a men's prison, and the men that are in there from 25 years to life. We did a couple of workshops and had a pretty excited crew, pretty excited group of people. The warden of the prison actually came to the workshops that we did, and then a teacher went in from Michigan, Rex, went in and did an 8-week support group series with the plan of doing a laws of living class, which was designed initially for the prison system. And there was a cost to getting into the workshop. Now, the cost couldn't be financial because these guys are, you know, 25 to life. And the only access they have to money, I guess if their family's got money, they send to them. Otherwise, they might work in the commissary for 25 cents an hour, whatever. You know, slavery is still legal in America in the prisons. Tragic, tragic thing. You might take a look at that issue, do a Google of it, and see if you're supporting any corporations that use prison labor, that use slave labor. If you are, some of the, you know, big corporations use slave labor in the prisons, forced labor for cheap. In any event, they didn't have money, and so the tradition has always been that in order to benefit from the course, people had to invest in it. So there was an investment that we asked people to make. And that was that they would do 5 worksheets a day for the period of the support group leading up to the intensive. So there was a pretty large group of people who really wanted to do that intensive. And when it came time to pay for the class, that is, turn in the 5 worksheets a day for the time period preceding the workshop, literally every man who wanted to participate in the course had exactly the same excuse for not doing worksheets. Guess what it was? I was too busy. Now, these are guys that are locked in a jail cell 23 out of 24 hours, 7 days a week, to get an hour out to exercise. Otherwise, they're locked in their cells unless they're working in the commissary or, you know, being enslaved somehow. I was too busy. And I can't tell you how many hundreds and hundreds, probably more like thousands of times I've heard that, oh, yeah, well, I'll do that, but I'm too busy right now. If you're an addict of busyness, I invite you to take some time to, one, take care of yourself, and, two, do your work. Peter drug on the planet, I would offer, is hostility. Most people think hostility is an emotion. Hostility is not an emotion. Hostility is an anesthetic drug. It's a way to anesthetize and keep from feeling pain. When you see something approach somebody and they go into hostility, watch the pain on their face. There's always pain under it, and the hostility, the anger, is just a cover for the pain that's being resonated by that situation. Stop your addiction. If you need to, and I've said this to people for years, go to, find, or start an Hostilities Anonymous group, same as AA or any other 12-step group. If your addiction is hostility, then enter a 12-step program to overcome your addiction to hostility. And just like the alcoholic, and one of the things they're really clear about is the alcoholic can't use alcohol or they'll slide back in. It's too much of a slippery slope. You can't be a user and end your addiction to alcohol. You can't be a user of hostility and end your addiction to hostility. And people say, well, how could I stop? Okay. Now you set yourself up a program. Well, hostility, you know, it's just there. Well, what can I do about it? You set yourself up a program, and you do the forgiveness work to the point where you touch into the pain that's resonated by the circumstances that seem to be the cause of your hostility. Remember our definition of denial. When I think or speak, so something outside of me, is the cause of something that's moving inside of me, I'm in denial. I'm angry because you did. I'm angry because they did. I'm angry because the government. I'm angry because the church. I'm angry because the priest. I'm angry because of the congressman. I'm angry because of the president. I'm angry because bull roar. Nobody has ever been angry about anything that's ever happened in their lives. They're angry because there's anger in them. That's all. There are thought disorders that, when activated, produce anger. That's the only reason anybody has ever been angry about anything. So how do you get out of that? You start to do the work. You allow yourself to start to pay attention to the inside, which means you have to make time. You can't stay addicted to busyness and do your work. So you have to take time to go inside. Literally set aside time where you sit down and you do the healing work that needs to be done. And when you touch into the thought disorders that are beneath the anger and you start to clean them out, then your addictive chemistry, the chemistry of anger removed, you start to feel the pain. And this is where nobody wants to go. And this is where everybody who wants to heal sooner or later must go. It's not an option. You can't say, I want to heal my life. I want to heal my family bloodline. Oh, I want to do this for my kids. You can't do it and be a user of drugs. And just like the alcoholic, one outburst of anger, it's the slippery slope that leads back to addiction. 12-step. It's the best program out there for doing that. Actually, there's about a year back in, what year was it? Can you remember 2015? Where we spent, we did Recovery Wednesdays. And every Wednesday, you know, and those are in the archives for, I don't know, 50 weeks or so, 40 weeks, whatever it was. We compared the 12-step program with the forgiveness process. We did some work around the worksheet and how it fits with the whole 12-step recovery work. And the recovery is not, you know, a lot of people think about recovering from alcohol or drug abuse. We're not interested in that. We're recovering the state of being called love that we are. Go ahead, Jean.
2016, but if the 16. Easiest way to find them is if you click on Start Here. And then scroll down, you'll actually see a section that says addiction. And then you can click to go to the Mind Shifter radio shows, or you can click on a page we created that says, do you want to stop addiction? Where do you start? And so that's under the Start Here. And then scroll down past the worksheets, and you'll see it says addiction.
Sweet. So that's on our website, whyagain.org. Click there and you'll find, you know, I don't know, 45 or 50 shows. I don't remember exactly. It might be it might be 60, I don't know, that we, the whole conversation was focused on addiction and cleaning up that process. So come and play. It's all there. It's all available. And then as you're listening, you know, keep your work, your inner work notebook with you whenever you're doing worksheets or watching videos like this, or even going to a movie that resonates things for you. And then as refinements are needed, as support is needed, as confusion comes up, it's like, geez, I just don't know what to do with this. Bingo, that's what we're here for with this show. That's why we're here 5 days a week. And Dr. Tim does an hour a day. We do an hour a day. And our whole purpose in doing it is to support and to create a record of how the tools work. And you know, we've got, as Jean said, over 4,000 hours in the archives. I think about 50,000 hours of listening on the radio show. And the idea is to have that record available permanently so that anytime, anywhere, today, tomorrow, 500 years from now, there's a digital record of these conversations and people have guidance as to how to use the tools. And, you know, there aren't, fortunately, there are more and more places that are doing the real inner work. But by and large, it's not easy to find a true conversation about healing anywhere on the planet. And when we're talking about healing, I'm not talking about treating diseases. I'm not talking about treatment. You know, what the world calls, you know, healthcare is really treatment for diseases. It's disease care. And, you know, there's been millions of creative hours and billions of dollars spent on studying disease care. And I suggest that if you want to heal or you want to become a healer, you forget about the cause of disease. You know, there's an interesting thing they've identified called the second year syndrome, where when people are studying abnormal psychology or abnormal physiology diseases, a statistically significant number of those people studying those diseases and those abnormalities develop them. The development of disease is a creative process. You don't solve disease with the focus on disease. You solve disease with the focus on health. What's the cause of health? There's the profitable study. What's the cause of health? And so when you shift your focus, you shift your creative process. And probably, I say this quite often, probably the most brutal atrocity that's happened on planet Earth and that we've bought into is that we've had hidden from us the fact that we are by nature creators. When we recognize that we are creators, then behooves one to determine how that creative process operates. How, if we're creators, I mean, if we, you know, bring things about in the world, how do you do that? Well, the whole story summed up in one sentence in the opening words in the book of John. And here's what it says. In the beginning was, now we're told it says by the Greeks, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. It doesn't say that. And, of course, the those who really don't want to do their work have implied that that word refers to a man, but actually in Aramaic what it says is in the beginning was the mind energy, and the mind energy became flesh. That's called creation. It also can be properly translated as in the beginning was the willed action, and the willed action became flesh. So whether you know it or not, you're a creator. How can I verify that for myself, Michael? Well, notice that whatever it is you're trying to escape in your life, you've been through it 87 different times with 42 different people, and you're the only one that was there every time. That means you are the creator of that situation. That's the bottom line conclusion you've got to come to when you start really looking honestly. And so the real healing work is not in physiology. The real healing work is in the mind. Check out some of the videos on YouTube by Bruce Lipton. Bruce is a cell biologist, and what he's showing is that when you think a thought, that thought becomes a molecule, a neuropeptide in your structure. So literally, something that we consider to be non-physical literally becomes physical. It moves into the realm of our senses, and we say this is an actual physical molecule. Now, of course, we know there are only states of organized energy. There's no such thing as a physical molecule, but in the world of science, where that's what we call it, in the so-called material sciences, you know, there it is. And that mind energy that becomes flesh becomes a molecule called a neuropeptide, then circulates around in the structure. It lands on a cell. It finds a cell with a receptor site that matches, and it lands on that cell or that series of cells. When a neuropeptide lands on a cell, and this is just it may be a metaphor and it may be literally true. I don't know how we could prove it. But, you know, it's kind of like when you strike a tuning fork on the desk, it starts to vibrate and you hear this sound. That is whatever the frequency of the tuning fork is. Well, when that molecule hits the cell, it's like a tuning fork. It gives off a vibrating energy. That vibrating energy is called an emotion. The emotion tells us the quality of the creative process that we're engaging in. And then it becomes your physiology. Mind energy becomes flesh. So let's listen to Einstein as he explains what flesh is. Quote, "On such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy. Energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses." Now, this is Dr. Einstein. "Perceptible to the senses, there is no matter. We do not live in a material world." Niels Bohr, receiving the Nobel Prize in Physics. Quote, "As a man who spent his entire life studying matter, I can tell you this much. There is no matter as such. Our entire world," he says, "is made of succeedingly smaller patterns of vibratory fields nested one within another within another."
Michael,
if you're in pain, yes.
That's Max Planck, not
Max
Niels Bohr.
Max Planck, pardon me. It wasn't Niels Bohr, right, Max Planck. Awesome gentleman. So what have you, if you're in pain, if there's trauma going on in your world or your physiology, what have you nested there that's creating what the doctors look at and call your physical disease? Guess what the unnesting process is? Nest, a nested frequency that's disturbing your tissue structure. Well, there was this man about 2,000 years ago who was called the great physician. You know why he was called the great physician? Because he knew exactly how to unnest every cause of disease that exists. And he devised a step-by-step process for doing the work. It took 30 years to ferret it out of the original Aramaic language. We had a group of 25 scholars who spent years working to establish the first century meanings of the words of the man named Yeshua. I then spent 35 years to come to the point of understanding what he was saying and how to use the tool of forgiveness. That's what the worksheet is. That's what the app is. If you want a direct way to do it, go to your app store on your phone, type in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. You'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. There are other apps out there that say they are about forgiveness. I've investigated many of them. Not one of them actually does forgiveness or moves in the direction of forgiveness. They're all doing Greek pardoning work. Oh, here's how you let somebody off the hook. Here's what you have to do. You have to forgive them. I offer, please, please, if you're in pain, never, ever, ever forgive anybody for anything. Forgive continuously, but never forgive anybody because of the misdirection of the language of our culture. Most people go into confusion and say, what are you talking about? Never forgive anybody, but forgive continuously. That's an oxymoron. How could I possibly do that? Well, here's how you do that. you recognize that to let somebody else off the hook for the pain that's moving in you, what the Greeks called forgiveness and has permeated the whole globe, you recognize that that's pardoning. And if you choose to pardon somebody, great, pardon them. Let them off the hook for the terrible thing they've done, but never forgive them. Pardon them, call it what it is, then go in and do the forgiveness work, with which you will uncover and remove the nested frequency in your structure that's creating your pain, your trauma, your disease, your disturbance, or your upset. But the mind has got 1,000 excuses and 1,000 ways of avoiding and 1,000 stories for why I shouldn't have to do that. And then they'll turn around day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, and say, why is this happening to me again? Why am I living with this terrible thing in my life? Well, Creator, there's only one answer. You've created it. Well, but how did I create this? Well, that's the question of the ages, isn't it? Go back and listen to our presentation so far, and I just explained the whole thing. That's called creatorship. Admittedly, we each live on top of 1,000 generations, 10,000 generations. And the way that the energy system is set up is that any frequency, it's like a recording device, any frequency that comes to a particular quote-unquote body, mind unit, nervous system, is an energy system, and those energies that come to it are registered holographically in every cell, including the sperm and the egg. And therefore, when conception occurs, they are passed on to the next generation. Every thought, every feeling, every reality, every perceptual construct stored holographically in every cell of the structure. The great physician said, here's how it's done. No, you don't have to forgive your brother. He said, you must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother. Now, lest you buy the Greek translation and you go, you know, so I'll have this big heart and I'll forgive them. No. In Aramaic, that word heart is a code word. If you go back to the first century language, we're talking about the unconscious. You must go into your unconscious and remove the nested frequency that your brother just resonated in you, that you used to build your brain's image of them so you could pretend that they were the problem in your life. Remember, you've had many, many, many brothers, sisters, what have you, who brought that up for you. Why is this happening to me again? It's only one reason it's happening again. It's because it's in you. It's not out there in the world. It's not coming from anybody else. To pretend that it is to live in denial. Denial leads to dissociation. Dissociation leads to projection. And projection means you take what's nested in you and you make pictures of other people out of it. Yeshua says, go into your heart and remove those nested frequencies that you make pictures of everybody else out of. That's forgiveness. Pardon if you will, but never forgive anyone. So go to your app store, type in Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. It's free. It's private. Only one permission required to use it. Two permissions required if you're going to print and keep a PDF of the worksheets that you do. That's it. We purposely made it so you could put the most private information you wanted in it, and it would be available to no one but you. Doesn't get stored in the cloud, doesn't move anywhere. If you print it, you print it from your phone to the drive in your phone. That's all. So that's what we're here to offer, and we're delighted that you're here to lend your ears, and please pass it on. And in the meantime, Miss G, do you have anything else to add, or is there anybody in the phone queue with a hand up, or anything happening in the chat room?
It is all quiet. I'm not sure if Susan's hand is still up from talking to Dr. Tim or not, so I'll turn on her microphone and see.
Well, let's say
welcome,
hello to
Susan.
The young lady.
Hey. Hi, guys.
Hey, welcome. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
We're awesome. I did put a call into Luke yesterday, but I haven't heard. I just got his voicemail, so haven't heard back from him yet, but hoping to. Yeah.
Oh, thanks so much for doing that, to come home for Christmas and then stay and go to Florida. And we're discussing how to work that because his mother isn't sure he should come and live at home, partly because of the way he was the last time and partly because he needs the support of a sober house, and also partly
community,
Jacob is going to fly home. Jacob, his brother, is going to fly home for 5 days, and he is, as far as I know, not sober yet, and we're not sure that's a good combination. The boys sometimes get, at loggerheads with each other, so she's trying to find a good solution to all that.
Easy to fall off the wagon in that environment.
I know. Yeah, there's a possibility of that. And yet Luke now has, I told you the other day, probably got 43 or 4 days. I'm trusting that he's still sober.
That's awesome.
He's excited about getting a sponsee. And he gave a talk about his own journey and how he has reached this much sobriety now. And he is pretty much going to programs a lot and riding a bike to get there because he wrecked 2 cars and lost his license. All of this under the influence. So there's a lot to figure out, but the kid is excited about a new life, and I hope he hangs on to that. Of course, he's feeling a lot because he's not anesthetizing himself anymore.
Right, right. Well, that's awesome that he's getting that kind of a foundation and that kind of a start. And so we definitely join you in holding the space for him.
Thanks. Sorry he didn't call back.
That
he often
link.
Doesn't call.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Well, it'll fit how it fits, if it fits, when it fits. The thought came to me, and I had sent it to you yesterday, but I had sent that video from the medical doctor who was in recovery and had a program, that you might send him that. That's a powerful piece of insight, and it might help Luke to look at some of the things, help Luke on another level to look at some of the things from childhood that that he worked with. I think the one of the statistics that gentleman mentions is that 80% of, I might be off on this, I believe it was 80% of alcoholics and drug addicts have one or more of the 6 or 8 different traumas that they've identified that are childhood traumas. It's crazy, that we live in a country that's so quote unquote modern, and yet these ancient, vicious, violent fears and terrors and traumas are passed on to children that, everybody cherishes, but the compulsivity of whatever the programs are that are in there that take over under stress is just, until somebody has the tools, it's just, impossible to step outside of.
Yeah, I'm looking at your text. I haven't listened to those. I listened to the Patch Adams one and the one about hitching the heart, the Greg Braden one. You sent that, didn't you?
Right.
Or you suggested
that? Yes, I think so.
Fantastic. And I did send that to Luke. I also sent it to my young nephew who just had a heart attack. And I thought, boy, start talking to your heart here. But childhood abuse link, I see it. And you said something about the Avison and this Hendrix TED Talk. Which one
Hendrix,
are you talking
that's
about?
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
The Hendrix, Dr. Hendrix. Yeah.
Thank you. I will listen to those. Busy, Michael, but I haven't listened to them yet. I'm not too busy. I'm busy doing it. Yeah.
Life is good.
Yeah,
good. It's funny you mentioned keeping worksheets, and Dr. Tim mentioned keeping worksheets too. I have a stack that fills a drawer about 10 inches or 12 inches deep, and I was looking at them, and Tim and I are thinking about the next place we should be living and how we're going to handle being older. We don't want our kids to have to take care of us. Catherine, my daughter, has put a bid on an enormous house in Florida because her husband wants to sail and he wants to be on the water, which I think is scary since climate change is wiping out properties on waters, but this is on a canal.
Right.
And mm-hmm. he said, as soon as you and Dad need to come down, or one of you, if the other one isn't alive, you come here. Don't look into nursing homes and old people's homes. And so we're just sort of in a little holding pattern here. Knock on wood, Tim and I are fine. But, you know, it's probably something to think about. And why am I saying that? Oh, it's because of all these worksheets. I'm trying to get rid of stuff. And I'm looking at these and thinking, I could just flip them into the fireplace and have a nice toasty afternoon burning them up.
You could. You could also just run them through your printer and make digital copies, and they'd be stored on your computer. Then you could warm the fire, and you'd have a record in case you want to go back and look at some of those. So my experience is that going back to old worksheets, I come to it, of course, each time with a different mind, and I get a different insight and a different level of work to do from them. So. And, you know, you've probably got, most people these days have got an all-in-one printer, and there's a platen that you can put pages in to print, and they'll print automatically. But you can also put those in and scan them. It's called OCR, Optimal Character Recognition. Scan them and just store them digitally on your hard drive.
I've got a scanner on my iPhone, and I could do it that way. It would be a little bit time-consuming. Yeah. My printer is old, so it doesn't do that fancy nice stuff. So, but that's nice.
And Office Depot might do something like that fairly reasonably too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, their printing department might just scan.
Yeah.
Say again.
I won't burn them yet. The fact that you mentioned them and Tim mentioned them while I was thinking of wiping them out makes me think there's a little gremlin right here. Telling me to hold off on that.
The universe is supporting you.
You know, the universe is fantastic. This Ian McClellan little clip that's going around, you probably saw it, where he says something that really made my day. I got into a cab, and the cab driver turned around and said, "Where to, love?" And he thought,
yes, right.
Suddenly I felt so at home. And I thought, this is Pierre Prevent all over again. This is putting it into action. So I go downstairs, and I was telling Dr. Tim about this. Our housemate, Michael, I said, "Michael, how would it be if I said to you, 'Hello, love'?" And he said, "Oh, I'd love it." And I could say it back. So we're saying that to each other.
Nice.
Isn't that fun? Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
my favorite salutation with Jeannie is, "Dear heart."
Yeah,
because she is,
really nice.
And I'm blessed.
Yeah, it changes your energy.
Mm-hmm.
It changes energy. It gets you right into your heart, and suddenly you're feeling all friendly and nice again. It causes a shift.
Yeah.
Love it. And
Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it just awesome that we actually get to live a human life, too? Like, what a gift. What an enormous gift.
Yeah, it's amazing how it comes and goes. I mean, I have to haul it in. All right, what am I doing? I'm on the other side of the universe. I told Dr. Tim a story. I'll tell it to you now because I don't, you know, it's a cute little story. But the end of Tim's hearing aid stuck in his ear last night, two nights ago, late. Couldn't get it out. Got a flashlight, a Q-tip, tweezers, and then I pushed it in a little, and that hurt. So he said, "I got to go to the emergency room." And it's 10 o'clock at night, and I'm feeling very tempted to get crabby about the whole thing. But I decided to be Pierre Prevent and practice the gentle art of blessing. So I breathed my way into thinking that, well, we're about to have an adventure. Let's go to the ER. So we go to the ER, and I watered a lot of poinsettias that were in the waiting room that were wilting and dying. The nurses were very nice and appreciative, and I was blessing everybody in sight, including Tim, who was not happy about his ear. Then we get finished with the doctor, and the doctor says, can't do anything for you. You've got to make an appointment with the ear, nose, and throat guy tomorrow and have him take it out. I don't have the instruments. So we were back at square one, came home. Tim took some ibuprofen, dove into bed, went right to sleep. Next morning, he goes to the doctor, and the doctor picked it out, no problem. But I was thinking that whole experience in the night, the ER, and 2.5 hours later getting out of the ER, and that it could have been so much harder than it was because of the gentle art of blessing and the fun we had, or I being there and seeing the light and the beauty in people, and fixing up the plants didn't hurt either. By the time we left, they were beginning to lift up their leaves again, and I thought, oh my God, this is amazing. But anyway, yeah.
I could certainly see lots of reasons why an hostile mind would go, what? We sat here for 2.5 hours and you can't do this? What? I mean, all kinds of reasons to go off the deep end, and we have a choice. We have a choice to live as human beings instead.
Mm-hmm.
How cool.
Thank God for the tools.
Thank you for that example. That's right on track.
And we were only half dragging the next day, you know, feeling a little more poop than usual, but not bad at all. And today we're back to snuff. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I love it.
Anyway, thanks for letting me tell that story. And we're supposed to be having a blizzard here, and all it's doing is spitting sleet. So anyway.
Oh, really?
I love weather. Yeah. School's off.
Well, we're still doing rain here.
Center was shut down. Yeah. The whole thing, they always get us all hyped up and ready to have to haul out the generator and shovel 3 feet of snow, and all we have is a little spitting going on out there.
Well, we've got some spitting rain here, and that's about it, but it's supposed to go down into the mid-20s tonight, so who knows, we may see some snow.
Oh, it might be icy then tomorrow. Watch it.
Yeah, we'll be careful.
Good.
For sure. Well, any thoughts, other thoughts for you at this moment?
You know, you always say anesthetize, and it's anesthetize. Isn't that awful? I'm being a grammarian.
You're right. Yeah, anesthetize. Yeah, I do that all the time when I hear people, especially in the media, going, can't you folks even speak English? So thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
I get on cases for misusing apostrophes, too. I have to do worksheets on apostrophes.
any subject will do, right?
Right. So that popped into my head.
Yes, thank you for that. That's an important one.
Well, it is and it isn't. But, you know, it's funny. I have a friend who advertises her work all the time, and she misspells words and has terrible punctuation. And I tell her, you know, your people might not sign up because there are snobs like me around who will think you're not educated, and they'll think it's across the board and you don't know your stuff. And she and I have been having a running argument about this.
Well, the beauty of that is when you're doing stuff on a computer, there's a grammar checker. You know, it's like run it through.
It puts too many commas in, Michael. Haven't you noticed the newest thing on iPhone? It puts in commas where they don't belong.
Back when I was writing my book, there was actually a medical doctor. It's a friend of mine in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I used to stay with him a lot. He was right on the beach. It was an awesome place to stay. But when I was writing the book, he helped do some editing on it. And he labeled himself the comma police. It's like, use too many commas. Okay.
Yep.
So he was, Bruce was the comma police.
Right. Damn, I totally sympathize. Sympathize, right? Yeah, sympathize. Got to get my words. All right. Anyway,
oh, what fun.
I know. So anyway.
Well, tell Tim we're glad his...
Yeah,
tell Tim we're glad his ear is doing better and that he got to create such an adventure for you. That's pretty cool.
I know. He did. He's a one-man entertainment center.
My mother used to live in a place where she had to regularly cross a railroad track to get to the store or anywhere she wanted to go. And she'd oftentimes get caught by the train and she'd sit there and just be fuming. And we did some more forgiveness. We did a worksheet around it. And it was like, you know, a few weeks later, she says, yeah, well, I just carry a book with me now. When I get stopped at the trains, you know, I just read my book. And it's like, you know, she turns it into delight where, you know, it was really like, you know, kind of thing for her.
Wow.
So, you know.
Michael.
You know.
Michael's here, and Michael's on the radio show.
Hey, Michael.
Michael,
hey there, young man. Good to hear your voice.
Yep, he's warming up his hot chocolate in the microwave and staring out at the birds that he is now feeding. He has taken over Tim Bingham's job and does the bird feeders. It's a real boon.
I did two bird feeders this morning, Michael, so I know how it feels.
It's kind of wet. Wet and cold.
Yeah, it was a little wet. Awesome. Well, you have a blessed day, and thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we invite you to create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Everybody's got the power to do that, and the world's certainly in need of it. So joining you in doing that. Blessings. Bye-bye.